I'm Duarte Geraldino, Deputy Managing Business Editor for Al Jazeera Digital. I'm in for Tenzina Vega, and you are listening to The Takeaway. We just heard about the Trump administration's decision to ban travel from 14 European countries for the next 30 days in response to the coronavirus pandemic. As this virus races around the world, it's raising serious questions about who can afford to protect themselves from this infectious disease. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is recommending people work from home if they can, and to minimize contact with other people. But for many people in the U.S., that's just not possible. Many Americans are already living paycheck to paycheck and don't have access to paid sick leave or health insurance. For many, missing work could mean not paying rent or not being able to buy food.
I don't have an option of not going to work. I have bills to pay. I know that may sound irresponsible to some people, but until my job steps up and guarantees sick leave for employees, their managers don't even have any sick pay, we have no option.
You and I are at risk. None of us is immune to coronavirus, but this outbreak is expected to disproportionately impact lower-income communities. So let's not shy away from that reality. Terry Gerstein is the director of the State and Local Enforcement Project at Harvard's Labor and Work-Life Program. She's here to help us understand the intersection of wealth inequality and this pandemic. Terry, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
How does an outbreak like this expose the inequality that's all around us?
I think if we start off with the question of paid sick days, that's sort of the most basic and obvious place to start. Altogether, one quarter of U.S. workers don't have access to paid sick days, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But if you look at the lowest wage earners, the lowest 10%, two-thirds of them don't have access to paid sick days. So this means that when the CDC and health authorities recommend that people stay home, people are not able to do that because they can't afford to, A, because they need the paycheck in order to pay rent, buy food, just in order to survive. And then also there's not job protection, and workers are afraid that if they take the time off when they're sick, that they'll actually lose their job in addition to not being paid.
Terry, when you talk about the lowest 10% of workers in the USA, what exactly would their wages be?
Well, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average hourly wage percentiles, the people who are in the lowest 10th percentile, private industry and civilian workers in that percentile earn in the range of $10.48 to $10.80 an hour. So we're really talking about the lowest income workers.
Now, COVID-19 is impacting lower income communities in a very specific way. But before we get to that point, how many Americans are living without this financial cushion that would enable them to self-quarantine for 2 weeks or more if needed?
According to the Fed, which does studies every year of people's economic well-being, 40% of Americans surveyed in 2018 said that they wouldn't be able to weather an unexpected expense of $400 without having to borrow money or sell something, or they wouldn't even have those options and they simply couldn't afford it. So that number, that 40% number who would not be able to weather $400 of an unexpected expense, that represents a lot of people, almost half of the people in the country who are really living paycheck to paycheck and don't have a cushion.
$400 as an unexpected expense would actually be what it might cost a family to insulate themselves for about 2 weeks, sort of at the minimum at this point, which is pretty frightening.
Right. I think that these economic inequality issues and workers' rights issues, for so long, people have seen them. People who are unaffected personally by them have seen them as issues that affect other people. But when you have something like this pandemic, you really see that our fates are joined together, and that when we have people who have to keep working when they're sick, when we have people who can't afford to miss work, who don't have health insurance, this actually is not just their problem. It's all of our problem because it's a public health issue. It endangers all of public health when we have people who are living in such a precarious way.
While our fates are all joined together, we're not all treated the same way. Now, you know, many of these companies are allowing employees to work from home, but for some low-income workers, that's just not an option, right?
Right. There are a lot of jobs where people simply aren't able to work from home. And some of them are in the service industry and some of the lowest wage workers. So, for example, restaurant workers, people in the hotel industry, home health aides, or people working in healthcare institutions, some kinds of public employees like the people who collect the garbage, people who work in public transit. These people cannot work from home. They have to show up and work. And in addition to not being able to work from home, there's the issue that many businesses are already cutting down on employees. For example, in Seattle, there was a chain of restaurants that is temporarily closing 12 restaurants. So all of those people are going to be temporarily without work. The announcement that the NBA is not going to be operating. There are people who clean the stadiums. There are all of the businesses, the bars and restaurants around the stadiums. So the ripple effects in terms of people losing their jobs, and this is not a question for these people of paid sick days or telecommuting. It's a question of like not having employment anymore at this point.
Bloomberg News, which caters to investors and wealthier folks, is reporting that wealthy New Yorkers are fleeing the city for the Hamptons and Hudson Valley, which are these resort communities outside of New York City. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it just points to the stark inequalities and the vastly disparate options that are available for people who have money. In this case, that's not just people who have money and low-income people. It's sort of the 1% and the rest of us. But I think the way this virus seems to be evolving, it seems like it will be very hard. It's really spreading in so many different communities, and it seems like it will be something that everyone's going to have to face throughout the country.
Terry Gurenstein is the director of the State and Local Enforcement Project at Harvard's Labor and Work-Life Program. Terry, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.